This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, May 15th, 2009. That's right, it's payday here at Gillette Stadium, Foxborough, Mass. Andy Hart joined alongside by Paul Perillo and a young man who's collecting a paycheck with the name Robert Kraft on it that he wasn't receiving last week, one Terrence Nunn. If you don't have any idea who that is, there's good reason for that, because prior to coming here, he had none for his background. Had a career at University of Nebraska where he was successful, had 136 receptions, 1,700 yards over his career, 37 starts in 49 games. And somehow he has spent the last year, much like Paul and Andy, out of the NFL. Unsigned, undrafted. I guess he's had some tryouts with teams, but was never able to land a contract. Paul Perillo, explain it to me.
I have no explanation. You brought this up
on PFW. 6 foot, 190.
Yeah, you brought this up on the radio show earlier in the week, and we haven't really been able to find out anything more about that.
His coach was a pro coach, right? Callahan?
With a good, solid college career at a BCS school in the Big 12 at Nebraska, was not able to even make it into camp as an undrafted rookie free agent, camp fodder type player.
Some of the guys we've seen come through?
I don't know.
Multiply that times 32 teams?
Yeah.
And how could he not be number 80 on somebody's roster?
We've seen guys here that were not really even frontline receivers in college.
Right.
You know, the kid from Georgia Tech that had about 7 receptions in college a couple years ago. I forget his name. You know, there was guys running around always, especially wide receivers. There seems to be 10, 12 in every camp because you need guys to go out and run those patterns.
Right now, on this team, there are 2 wide receivers from Navy.
Yeah.
Navy.
Yeah. So it's a strange situation. The college resume is a pretty good one.
Right.
He played really well at Nebraska. Who knows? Maybe he's a guy.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this. When I meet him, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to do some investigative reporting here.
You can make him a getting to know.
Now, more importantly, we move to the news of the week. And it involves the roster, but not necessarily in the way fans had hoped or in the way Paul Perillo had expected. Jason Taylor re-signed with the Miami Dolphins. 1 year, $1.1 million with $400K in incentives that he can earn. According to his agent, via some quotes on ESPN and some other outlets, there was never a negotiation. No. There was never anything. Patriots offered more money, but he was always going to be a Miami Dolphin for this year. The only thing that came down to was them coming up with a number that fit on their salary cap. He clearly, you know, he hasn't said it directly, but he clearly made a mistake last year when he went to Washington and kind of shot his way out of town, realized it. Wanted to be back in Miami, the organization he's loyal to, where his family is. Everything is down there. And what does it leave, Paul, but a hole on the Patriots' depth chart?
Well, there is some depth issues, I think, at linebacker. And even though I have been one, I first of all, definitely thought he was coming. You are right about that. I thought Taylor was signing. But I have sort of been a little bit less urgent with this whole thing than a lot of other people have been. And we'll find out how it's going to work out.
You like a lot of unproven players.
Well, I like them. I don't love them. Let's put it that way. I like Sean Crable more so than probably most people on this show anyway.
And how much you like him?
I like
how
him.
Much you think he can think, play this year?
I think
I don't
he,
even care about performance.
I think that
be
in terms
field.
Of our whole six-player theory, you know, the three guys for the inside, 3 guys for the outside in a rotation, I think he is definitely one of your 3 in the rotation on the outside.
But you'd be comfortable with 35% snaps, 50%.
Sure.
Where would you be, you think, his
part-time player, yes. Whatever that percentage is.
A lot of third
50,
downs,
yeah.
Some second downs.
I want him on sub-packages, and I think he can do a good enough job with the other stuff, setting the edge and things like that. Woods, I think, is probably better served doing the first down stuff.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm not convinced that he is you know, the whole package in terms of getting after the passes. So I think it's thin because I think if you get an injury now, you're really in trouble. And whereas if you had Taylor or someone else, maybe you could better withstand an injury to one of the frontline players. If Dalis Thomas goes down right now, you're in dire straits. I recognize
or Teddy Bruschi. I mean, you even inside you have Mayo and Bruschi, I would assume, will be your starters. We all know what Mayo is, and I think we have the expectation that he makes a jump and becomes an impact player even more so in year two. Brewski, I think we're okay with him starting, but what is it, 14? Year 14 he's entering?
Yeah, and he hasn't really been his playmaking self in a while.
Okay with what he is.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Trouble is, how long can he be what he is?
And how many downs can he play? I mean, I think he played less and less last year than he ever had in his career, and I would imagine that's going to diminish a little again as well. I am optimistic, like I am with Crable, with Gary Guyton. I think he's an athletic young guy who can serve in a few roles. I don't want him out there on a full-time basis slamming into guards and trying to stop the run on third and short and stuff like that. But I think in terms of sub-packages and chasing around running backs and things like that, I think he's an athletic young guy who can make some plays.
I do, too. I just think that it's likely Brewski cannot play the whole year.
Yeah,
and that means Gary Guyton.
It's hard to go into a year and say you're not going to get any injuries.
You talk about your three for two. He's the three right now for those two slots, which means he would become a starter, I guess, should Brewski not be able to maintain that role throughout the year.
Yeah.
I have my concerns because, first of all, I feel like we're turning back the clock a little bit. And once again, you know, we raved last year. They finally drafted a guy to play linebacker high in the draft. Bill found his guy with the 10th pick. He took him. He fit perfectly. Well, now I feel like we're back to the developmental thing where it's Ryan Claridge and Tully Bantakane is one of the guys again, and where you're trying to develop these guys that are later round picks. I mean, Sean Crable clearly has the build. He has the size, the speed, everything Bill's been looking for.
Right.
The exact reason he didn't draft guys this year, Crable has it. But he's also a third round pick, which means he's not Mayo. He doesn't have that talent, that expectation that, okay, he should be able to come in and contribute immediately. And I know he's had a year in the system, but it's a year watching and learning, not doing. So I have my doubts that an undrafted free agent, a third-round pick, and a seventh-round pick who's in his second tour of duty with the team are good enough. Maybe it will be. Maybe Bill is very comfortable, but I have my doubts.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, and I have a hard time necessarily arguing with you in terms of the overall depth. That's a concern. I feel if they somehow magically made it through without really too many bumps in the road, I think they'd be okay. I think today they'd be okay. I think where the problem comes is week four when, you know, Teddy Brewski maybe is banged up a little bit or, you know, Sean Crable is playing at less than 100%. Adalys Thomas goes up. If you lose a guy.
And you will.
And like you said, you used to deal with six guys that were Ted Johnson, Roman Pfeiffer, Teddy Brewski, Roosevelt Colvin, William McGinnis, Mike Vrabel. Those were all six guys that you said, I have no problem at all with
right.
those guys starting and playing 100% snaps.
Right.
So you had two of those guys that you didn't have any problem playing 100% of the snaps who didn't start.
Right.
Now
I got guys starting that I have questions about, and they're backed up
and
by guys
backups,
that have bigger questions.
So that's where the real
And you know there's going to be an injury
to
somebody.
There's
four positions
injuries.
There. One of them is going to miss at least a couple games or a month with something, if not worse, if not season-ending type injuries.
Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like I'm blind to this problem.
You're
sipping
the Kool-Aid again.
I am sipping the Kool-Aid. I do think Sean Crable is a pretty good player, and I think that might be part of what Bill's mentality is here. But that doesn't mean that I don't recognize the lack of depth overall at both spots, inside and out.
But we argued this on Debate Friday on Patriots.com. I'd urge all the listeners to go over and vote.
And vote for me.
Vote for Andy, the right answer. But I think we both agree, whether this is a flaw, fatal flaw, this is going to be a good football team. They didn't need Jason Taylor to be a good football team. They're going to compete not only for the division, but likely the AFC title and a Super Bowl championship. And this issue with depth at linebacker will be one that, if it rears its ugly head, might be at the end of the season when you look back and say, okay, it just wasn't good enough at that spot. It's not going to rear its ugly head in September where they start out 0-4 or something of that nature.
No, and I understand what you're saying about that. They're going to be a good team. Even if they do get injuries, they're still going to be a good team. It's the question will come, are they able to beat the other good teams
right.
when it counts?
Right. When the game planning reaches, as Bill says, its heights of December and January.
All
and
the teams know who they are at that
issue
point.
That's a negative is magnified because the other team has a full 16-game schedule to look at and scheme for you and attack you. But the bottom line is Jason Taylor will not be joining Tom Brady in New England. He'll be chasing him yet again, making life difficult for Matt Light and Tom Brady. We remember last year, both guys were very excited that Taylor was out of the division. Well, he is back. And that Miami team you're competing for with the AFC East, I think the Patriots are a better football team, but at least in terms of defense and the pass rush, Jason Taylor and Joey Porter is a pretty formidable duo to deal with your two tackles from end to end.
Yeah, Miami has done some things to improve itself. Now, whether or not they, you know, they work out on the field, we'll find out. I mean, on paper, they drafted some young defensive backs. The secondary was a bit of a problem for them last year.
Vontae Davis.
If some of these young guys step in, and Sean Smith, too, if they can step in and, you know, and perform and contribute, I think that's an upgrade over what they had because they struggled in the secondary last year. We saw that firsthand in Miami when the Patriots absolutely shredded them. Matt Castle's second of two 400-yard games.
And they'll always have the Wildcat because they added Pat White to Ronnie Brown.
Yeah.
But the Patriots did not add Jason Taylor.
But this isn't the roster report.
He's a
Miami.
Dolphin. So all we're focused on is the tremendous addition of wide receiver Terrence Nunn out of Nebraska. Took a year off to find himself, and now he finds himself in training camp with the New England Patriots, competing for a job and catching passes from Tom Brady. What a difference a year makes for Terrence Nunn. Anyway, for Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, that's going to wrap up another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast, where we bring you the highs and the lows. Nunn is here, Taylor's not, and we'll be back next Friday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.